There are those who would say Genesis chapter 27 is an extremely dark chapter, and they would be right. But don't look at it as a dark chapter. Rather, look at it as that black backdrop that the jeweler lays down just before he puts the brilliance of a diamond on it to show you the amazing contrast. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
It's the greatest comfort to me to realize that if God said that he would be with Jacob the whole way through, then I can be sure that he'll be with me.
What an amazing grace that we are exposed to here in Genesis chapter 27. Oh, sure, it's a dark scene. Everybody is rebellious, the biggest of which is Isaac himself. But in the midst of it all, we see that diamond of grace. Let's talk about that further, shall we? Here's Pastor Chris.
Isaac here was around 140, and he dies at 180, so he was confined a long time. He was down a long time. But we know that Jacob and Esau were born when he was 60. That means for almost 100 years, he fought God on this. And we stand back, and we say, what a terrible thing that's happened here. But is this so uncommon? How many parents support children in their sin against the will of God? Think about it. Has it ever happened when the church tries to go and recover a wayward child that has defected and has run from the faith, that the parents secretly support that, support the children in their running and support their sin? You think parents secretly side with sinning children against the will of God? Happens all the time. How often are children put before God's will and we turn our faces away from God's will so that we don't have to deal with it, and we support it? We're all on the edge of our seats right now because this is who? It's Isaac. Let's move to mom. This is really bad for Isaac at this point. One thing I've learned in life, piece of advice for young fathers, when it comes to a mother, never slight her children. You want to start a mess. You want to start a war, mess with mom and her son. That's like standing in front of a herd of elephants. She will rip you up. Here is Isaac with his secret plot. And lo and behold, in verse 5, Rebekah is standing at the tent door. And she goes in and she's hearing this whole thing. She's hearing the whole thing. You can see the mouth drop. And she goes right to Jacob. I heard your father speak. He's going to bless Esau. No way. And notice how it comes out in the text. Obey my voice. You obey what I command you. Go to the flock and you bring me a couple of good young goats so that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat so that he may bless you before he dies. Isaac should have gone out of the master tent room, I suppose. There is no way mom is going to let this happen. And favoritism has plagued this family. Favoritism has plagued. Son, I command you, listen to my voice, son. We're going to cover you. I know how dad likes his food. I'm going to prepare it. Doesn't matter how we get the promise. We're going to go get it our way. You see how we're never really patient with the fulfilling of God's word and promise his way, in his timing. If we were to apply this, how satisfied are we with the Lord's will for us today? You look at how things are playing out before you with your marriages and your husband and your wife and your children or the church and worship. And you go right down the line here, right down the line. A whole bunch of things that are in life that matter to you. And do you ever look at those things and deep down, in all honesty, you're very unsatisfied with the way that whole direction's going? Very unsatisfied. And things are happening and you hate the way they're happening. You hate the way it's going. And what is the immediate default? What is the immediate thing that we do in these kind of situations? We grab them and we are going to solve it our way and we're going to get it done. We do it with children. We do it with our lives. We do it with church. We've got to have this. We've got to have this. We've got to have this. Then it'll work. Then we'll get results. Look at the disorder that we bring to homes, church, life, when we're doing it our way. Look at the absolute disorder and chaos in the home and marriages. You know, you think about this. When these things happen, how many wives say today, how many wives say, I have no communication with my husband? How many wives, how many husbands say about their wives, she just tries to control everything. I feel no love. Goes on all the time. And so far, look at the scene that's painted in front of you. Isaac has rejected the will of God, choosing the son that was of grief of mind to both of them, choosing the son that would do the most for him for pleasure and food. Rebekah returns the favor by now deceiving, dying dad in order to fulfill her own agenda, her way. And then we come to Jacob. Here's a model character in the scriptures. Let me tell you, Jacob, I still think this is the greatest rebel in scripture. He's 70 years old now, by the way. He's not a kid. That'll help give you some perspective. 70-year-olds can be rebels, by the way. Jacob said to Rebekah's mother, "Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man and I'm a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing." Where's the affection for dad? Your dad is dying and all you care about in the deception is that maybe you'll get cursed. Mom, I need collateral if I'm going in and doing this. Mom says, "I'll take it. I'll take the curse. Only you obey me and you go deceive dad." So mom puts on the favorite clothing of Esau on Jacob and covers him with the goat, the skins all the way over his neck and his arms and his hands so that when Isaac feels him, he'll think it's Esau. And she sends in the best savory food that she could and she sends him in. And now you can imagine the scene. It's all quiet. Jacob walks in. He is strikingly effective carrying out this sin. He is good. And now you have it, the text kind of walked through how bad the lies are. Lie number one, notice what happens. "My father, here I am. Who are you, my son?" "I'm Esau, firstborn son. I've done as you told me. Please arise, sit and eat of my game that your soul may bless me." Isaac thinks, "How'd you get it so quick?" Lie two, "God brought it to me." Oh, that's not really right. "The Lord, your God, gave it to me." He just takes the holy name. Did you notice it? This is the name that when revealed to Moses, Moses is down, feet are off. He takes the holy name of God and he drags it right through the mud. "God did this, your God." Notice, not my God, your God. This is like a bank robber with $5 million in his hand. "Hey, where'd you get the money?" "The Lord gave it to me." "Let me feel your hand, son." Isaac knows that in the ancient Near East, when these blessings were given, it's done. You don't take them back. You can't alter it. "Are you really my son?" Jacob says with no shame, "I am." You know, God had covered Adam and Eve with garments. Remember that? In the Garden of Eden, he killed an animal and he covered them, teaching us without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And God covered him and God wanted Adam and Eve and all the generations to understand that that's what we need in Christ. And that's what he does for us in Christ. He sheds blood so that we can be covered in rich robes of righteousness. It is interesting to me that there's an old Jewish apocryphal tradition that says that these garments that Esau wore were the ones passed down that God made for Adam. Did you know that? That these garments, that they were passed down to the firstborn throughout. Now, it's probably a myth. But whatever the case, have you ever thought about the verse, "Don't let your liberty become a cloak for vice"? Don't let who you are become a garment, putting on a garment to deceive people about your life. Don't let this gospel liberty that has freed you become that. Don't take the gospel and mask it. Use it as a mask for a deceitful life. Meet Jacob. "Come here, my son, kiss me." And he kissed him. Now, I don't know how much to make of that, but the only other time I see that kind of betrayal is with Judas, betraying his Lord with a kiss. blind Isaac, deceived by his son. And he smells the blessing. And what does he do? He smells the food and he passes the fullness of the Abrahamic blessing onto him. I want to say first, at this point, Jacob's unconverted. We know what God's going to have to do in a few chapters to this rebel. He's going to have to take him down and wrestle him to the ground and pin him and dislocate him so that he'll cling. We'll get there. But he doesn't know the God of Abraham. He's dead. 70 years old and dead in trespasses and sins. And in some kind of strange comfort for us, you need to remember that when your children have run. What about Esau? We're going to come back to him next time. He had already despised his birthright. He had married these pagan women. I want everyone to look at verse 6 of chapter 28. Now Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob, and he went away to Padan Aram to take a wife from there. That as he blessed him, he directed him, "You shall not take a wife from the Canaanite women." And that Jacob had obeyed his father and mother and God had gone to Padan Aram. When Esau saw that the Canaanite women did not please Isaac, his father, Esau went to Ishmael and took as his wife, besides the wives that he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth. But anyways, my point is, his whole life is pictured here as rejection of the promises. He comes in, seething with rage. He sees his brother. The story ends up with, "I'm going to take him out. I will kill my brother." Brotherly hatred fills the family to the point of murder. And this is exactly what plays out, that Esau will be on a murderous tangent to kill Jacob. So here's what we have. Parents grieved over children. The children treating their parents and using them for whatever they want to do. They show no love for their parents. Everything's about them. Everything's about their happiness. The parents feel used, obviously, by the children. And here's what's so amazing about the whole thing this morning. This is the family of Abraham. This is the covenant holy family. Now, if you accept this nonsense today, you could accept a couple different nonsenses, that we just need to find the good in everyone. Help me. Help me. I don't find it in Genesis 27. Or if you accept this crazy notion that the fulfillment of God's covenant depends upon my obedience, help me. The reality is this. Dad and mom aren't listening to one another. Marriage is on the rocks. Dad is doing things secretly to accomplish his own will against the will of the Lord, rejecting clearly the revealed will of God. Doesn't want his strong-willed wife to know, lest chaos break out in the family. Strong-willed mom is behind the scenes, scheming with her favorite son to get it done her way. Both sons right now are living in total unbelief, and now one of them wants to kill the other. Let me summarize the position of each one. Isaac, Have thine own way, Lord? No. Have my own way, Lord. Rebecca, we'll try it my way, Lord. Jacob, I'll take it if it works my way, Lord. Esau, I'll get it back my way, Lord. What a mess. All of them fighting over God's will in their lives. All of them. And where's prayer? The whole thing kind of reminds me of the American family, doesn't it? Teenagers rebelling, dad absent, mom and dad have completely polar different planets on how to deal with the problems, doing everything they can, though, to build the happy, prosperous American life, and yet everyone's on edge in the family because none of it's working real well or nobody's happy, all trying to get results their own way, and the parents don't understand. They're getting duped by stick-up artists in their own homes. Can you imagine the nightmare this would be if it all hinged upon them? And now we get to what I really wanted to get to today. Who's the shining character in this whole plot? Who's the overwhelming one full of goodness? Through all of this mess, you see the Lord's commitment, unwavering, relentless, to fulfill the promise he made to Abraham. And not one of his people that he loves fell from grace. God's election is all over this. But did God give up on Isaac? Well, when Esau walks in, he says, I'm your firstborn. If you look there carefully at what happened, the thing that happens is Isaac trembles violently. It's a fascinating statement. Did you see it there? Who are you? He answered, I am your son. This is verse 32. And Isaac, verse 33, trembled violently. What did God do for him? Well, Hebrews says, some even make the case this was Isaac's conversion, but Hebrews makes the case. By faith, listen to what Hebrews says about Isaac. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. That is an amazing statement. I mean, invoke, what do you mean by faith? He invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. The whole thing was done deceitfully. He was blind. He didn't even see. And I think the key to that is when he trembled violently right then and there, he submitted to God's will. He saw, what am I doing? And from that point on, he blesses Esau and he blesses Jacob again in faith. And you'll notice he says there carefully to Esau, you'll notice there he says, I have blessed him, yes, and he shall be blessed. He submitted. He repented. And from that point on, he blessed Esau. He didn't fall out of grace. God kept him. And then Rebekah, buried in the cave with Abraham. And Jacob, the heart of it this morning, the worst to me, the Lord your God did this. The Lord your God brought this to me, and I'm using this sin to blame him. The worst character has this pronounced on him. The worst character in this story has this pronounced on him. May God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. And you say, why is that so important? Because that is the Abrahamic promise. God said before any of this mess, it's going to Jacob. And before any of this disaster on this scene before you, God works through this mess, through their sin, and accomplishes the blessing that he said he would give to Jacob, and he does that for you too. The message here is the same that Paul said to Timothy. When we are faithless, he remains faithful, and he can't deny himself. Cling to that verse. When we are faithless, it doesn't change. He can't deny him. He can't deny the promise and oath. He'll remain faithful. When he gave these promises and gave these promises to us and our children, he said, I'm going to complete the work that I started. And no matter how bad we screw it up along the way, he's going to fulfill it. Unreal. The greatest character in this story is the Lord God. And it's remarkable because it was Jesus Christ, our Lord, who when he came here as our kind of elder brother, had the blessing, had the birthright, who willingly chose to become the curse for us. And never demanding what was his by right, never stealing it, freely became the cursed one as Esau was the cursed one, that we might wear the rich robes that he has given to us, garments that he covers us with. The Son by right, the Son of God's choosing, the Son in which he was well pleased, gave us his clothing. And became the curse that we might become, as Corinthians says, the righteousness of God in him. Jesus wore the robes and gave them to us, that deceivers like Jacob might become clothed. It's a knowledge of that kind of love that's going to take you down and pin you. A knowledge of that kind of persistence in your own lives. A knowledge that he's always there and he's not leaving you. And that if you want to go that route, he loves you so much, he's going to chastise you as a son. He'll be there. He'll do that. You don't want to go through the consequences of that, though. But when people refuse to bow the knee, he doesn't give up. He'll bring that knee down. And you're going to see him wrestle down 70-year-old Jacob. We should confess our sins to the Lord. We should bow the knee to his will, because the consequences are serious. I close with this. The other day at classes, Derek Vandermeulen gave a really good devotional at the very end of classes. And it was on Psalm 46. And he focused on the very last statement, "The God of Jacob is with us." And I love what he said. Of all figures in the Bible, Jacob, he says, interests me the most. Why? Because he was a rebel. He was a scoundrel. And he's the one that I identify with the most. He talked about his recent struggle with cancer and said, "Through all life's hardship, it's the greatest comfort to me to realize that if God said that he would be with Jacob the whole way through, then I can be sure that he'll be with me. I can have absolute confidence as the chief of sinners." And if you know your life, that's what you say with Paul, "I'm the chief of sinners." That he will be my help, that he will sustain me, that he has given me this blessing because of his son, and that he's clothed me with rich robes, and nothing can take that from me. That's the kind of faith the Lord wants us to have. That's the kind of message that begins to help us to bow the knee in submission to his perfect will.
Comforting to know that no matter how bad things may seem, we are still in the grip of grace. And what a lesson learned out of Genesis chapter 27. And this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Well, in closing our time together today, I'm reminded of other resource materials we have available at our website that would complement what we've heard today. agradio.org is a great place to go if you would like to know more about us and take advantage of other resource materials we have there. And if you have a question that you would like to address Pastor Chris with, maybe today's broadcast has sparked a thought or two, a question, please, by all means, send it off to us. Now, you can either email that to us through our website, agradio.org, or better yet, voice it through your voice memo app. Record your question, your name, and where you're calling from, and then send that to questions@agradio.org. That's questions@agradio.org. You're also welcome to reach us by phone. The number is 888-504-8805. Abounding Grace Radio is also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can visit our website for links to the platform that you prefer to follow. One final note as we close out our program today, we are listener-supported, which means friends of the ministry come alongside and partner with us financially and prayerfully, ensuring that this program continues right here on this radio station. You see, we look to friends like you to help ensure that this broadcast continues to spread the gospel of grace wherever we're at. If you would like to be a part of that, a small gift, large gift, one-time or an ongoing monthly gift, we'd love to hear from you. agradio.org, you can give securely online, 888-504-8805, or write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Well, let's return the microphone to Pastor Chris once again, shall we, to close out our time together in a word of prayer.
Oh, Lord, our God, we realize and confess as we go through life that we don't even see how often we're pursuing our own wills and doing our own things, imposing our own wills upon you. And if you would just take away that lid off our hearts and let it all come out so that we could see, it would be absolutely scary what would happen. Instead, we ask that you would forgive us, not giving us what our sins deserve, but being merciful to us in this new covenant that was promised to Abraham, that in him all the nations would be blessed, that we and our families would remember what you are like to us, what you've announced to us, what you've done for us in sending your beloved Son. And may we love you with a sincere heart, repenting and turning to the Lord our God. Yes, Lord, you are our God. And may our children be able to say that too this day. We pray this in Jesus' name.
and amen. Thank you for joining us today. Tomorrow, our Friday broadcast of Abounding Grace. We'll see you then. Bye-bye. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.